Are we live? Right on, man. Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom with the flu, and we all know the master, Bub. Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Doing pretty good so far, man. How about you?
I'm doing well, man. I got this head cold. You know, it's funny, Bub. We were sitting inside the broadcast studios on Saturday doing the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, and about 9:15, man, it hit me like a friggin' train. We just tried to carry through the show, and, man, I'm struggling a little bit today.
Yeah.
It's Monday, though, Bob.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, dude, that is the way it is for a Monday morning around here at BEM. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of crazy things going on. We are having a lot of fun, a lot of insane rides that will be coming to you guys this week. Stay tuned for the Instagram postings and on the Facebook postings as well.
Super positive.
I think, 5 days out through, 5 days out from launching with Podcast One, as you guys have probably been seeing on the page. You'll see those things popping up every day now as the countdown continues.
Right on,
so a lot of good things.
Super, super exciting stuff coming out of there. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Visit us for over 20,000 online parts and accessories. And your code 504 dealership items will be going up this week, I believe, Bub, and you'll be getting the map pricing from them.
That's right.
Correct. Big deal there. That's another big piece of good news, Bub. And by Miss Outlaw Boutique, msoutlawboutique.com. The moose is loose in Abacoa. Are the girls open or closed today, Bub?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either. 561-660-6695. And Miss Outlaw Boutique gets you there on the web.
That's the way to go.
That's it. 14th of April, Saturday. Don't miss the big unveil at the Celebrate Exotic Car Festival in Orlando with the Tuttles. It's going to be huge. This is an unveil unlike anything you've ever seen before, Bub.
Yeah, definitely going to be a lot of fun. I was out with Billy and Aaron, Billy Lane, on Friday afternoon.
Yes, you were.
We had a great time. He is now coming back from the Bahamas, so we had a fun time there. But I'll tell you what, man, this weekend going to be a blast in Orlando. It will be us up there, both of us from BEM. We will have, I think, Ken from BEM is going up as well.
Yes.
He will be up there doing setup and getting things going for us. In the background, we also have Billy Lane and Aaron Lane going.
Yes.
We have Paul Sr., Paul Jr., Mikey. I mean, everybody is going to be there. A lot of fun people out there. That is on the 14th, but this does run from the 12th through the 15th. This is a large event. It is all about exotic cars. It's a full celebration, so we are going to be up there having a great time.
It's going to be a lot of fun, Bub. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. Bub, we're going to talk a little bit about this gorgeous 73 rotisserie car that came into us. The owner purchased this car after it was built. And as with any new car that somebody, please excuse my voice today, ladies and gentlemen, around the world, I'm just not doing too well. But we're going to make it. We're going to stay positive. We're going to get through this. Bub, this beautiful 73 Camaro came in. It is a rotisserie car. But with any of these cars, you see, there are things that aren't matched and aren't quite right with it. Mm-hmm. The client of this car brought it to you after having some very good recommendations about who you are and your build style and quality, and wanted to talk to you about what, Bub?
So let's start off first, right? Second generation Camaro. This was also, you would see the Firebird in this style body. There was the Trans Ams, there was the Esprits, there was, man, if you can imagine it,
all of them,
these things had plenty of different model lines and options, every one of them offering
they
something
did.
A little different
sure.
than the other. Some of these things, total bad rides.
Yep.
Some of them, total Tonka toys, right?
Yep.
Like these things were running some basic poo-poo engines, could barely get out of their own way.
Six cylinders in some cases.
But some of these cars were absolute
sure.
beasts off the production line. And I'll tell you what, pretty iconic looking car. This one would have to be that year range that I would prefer.
Yes.
A lot more of the metal work on the car than it was like when you started getting into the later 70s, going into the early 80s. 70 through 81 was this body style of the second generation.
Yes.
But that's when you started getting to like the urethane style bumpers. We actually have a Trans Am offset that
right
is
here, yeah.
as well as 79. And that is like the urethane rear bumper, the
yes.
ABS plastic rear bumper, the front bumper. So I really wasn't a fan of that era.
Didn't
they flexed, they
too
warped
well, yeah.
a little bit. But you could do a lot with like the steel body cars.
Sure.
I think that they were that true muscle car era. This one actually came in for us to go over the tune on this car, right? So not too hard, not too complicated. But what is the most important thing with tunes? Making sure everything matches and works
in harmony. Yes.
That is key. And when you are especially not only for, man, just basics. I'm talking like you could have, it didn't have to be something like this. You could have a car that's like all stock, all original, numbers matching. Still, that tune is key. The way that that air fuel delivery works, the way that the ignition system works, that is going to be what makes a car
sure. yeah.
perform, what makes it reliable, what makes it not overheat. Big key thing down here, especially in South Florida.
Yes.
A lot of guys have overheating problems. They tend to think it's always cooling system related.
It's not. It's carburetor related.
It's typically always going to be in your air fuel, in your ignition side.
Yep.
A lot of guys don't understand that, but those are what generate heat.
That's correct.
Simple as
just
that.
Just like we've always illustrated, Bob, if you're at a barbecue and you take a charcoal starter, the barbecue starter, and dump it on the fire, what happens? You get a much larger flame, much hotter flame.
Yeah.
Such is the case with some of today's carbureted cars, many of today's carbureted cars that are overheating.
Yeah.
You see people hanging dual fans, aluminum radiator. Stop.
Probably got to figure out the first thing. Now, while all of that is good, especially down here in South Florida, again, where it is really hot,
it's
already 80 plus degrees
yes.
outside, where the rest of the world is still walking around in snow jackets yes. with snowstorms going on. I'll tell you what, man, this setup is one of those things where I would say, you know, it's very rare that you see solid built cars in the industry anymore.
This one's
we've discussed
well.
That a lot.
Yeah,
we've shown
well.
That a lot with a lot of our Facebook shows that we've done. We've included you guys on. A lot of cars are, you know, some people always walk around with this like whole numbers matching Survivor deal, and that's very far from the truth when a lot of these things are built.
That's correct.
This one has been completely redone, start to finish, top to bottom, and I'm talking a full rotisserie. So this car is a very solid build as it sits with a lot of high-end parts put on this thing. But again, one key factor here is making sure that everything has to work hand in hand with what you're trying to build. And that was the one flaw on this entire build, was the fuel delivery system from the tank to that engine.
That's correct, Bob. So when you took into this car, I was looking at the comments, but again, I try to respond to everybody as they comment, but I can't see them. Mr. Producer may be able to. I can't see them coming across. Do you have, are you watching them? Okay, good. So Bob, when this car came in, part of the problem was the client identified the vehicle as falling flat on its face intermittently.
Yeah.
It wasn't consistent, it wasn't all of the time. You immediately knew you had a fuel-related issue. We got on the phone with the client, we asked some fairly probing questions. Then even we drill it down to the entry-level questions, because you want to know what's going on. You like to know even as far back as where the car was originally put together. I mm-hmm. believe this particular build was done in part in Chicago, if I remember. Is that correct?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of good things went on with this car. A lot of really good things went on with this car. First and foremost, Bub, let's talk about how we deliver fuel to the carburetors.
So, yeah, man, so this one is just an overview of the car. This is a big block Chevrolet engine in this one. It is a 427, so a pretty stout setup in there already. As I'm looking through and going over, you know, of course, like my first thing before I even start throwing suggestions or ideas at anything is get an understanding of what I'm looking at, right? I feel like that's kind of what a doctor would do. That's kind of like, you got to know what you're working with. You got to know what you're looking at. And this one, sweet ride, super, super clean setup. As you know, I would consider this one more of like a pro touring style build. It has been modernized in just about every arena, from the electronics to the gauges to the braking system to the power steering to the suspension system. Everything has been modernized and upgraded, with the exception of that air fuel delivery. It's
correct.
Still kind of fairly traditional back there, with nothing wrong with that. Trust me, carburetors, we run them all day long. We just did a pretty nasty one that went out last week as well. And I'll tell you what, man, as long as it is done right, it will be a
chance.
It works perfect. Of course, fuel injection, always the way to go.
Absolutely.
Especially in today's world, and now with the way the pricing is starting to get, you know, at first
coming
it was
down,
here. Now it's coming down, making it much more affordable
like
for
LED
a lot of
lights.
Guys. Oh, big time, man. I remember LED headlights, they came out, you were paying $1,000 for a light. Now you're getting these things off eBay for $59.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So crazy, crazy difference there. I don't know if I'd be buying LED headlights off eBay. That's just me. I still buy professional quality.
You can you buy LED fuel injection?
No.
No, okay.
But I'll tell you what, man. This you could tell that the build was super, super solid. Great setup. I wouldn't suggest anything else on this car aside from getting it to be matched now and running exactly as it should. You could tell one of the key factors I noticed, I actually pointed out to Ken. So in terms of age, you know, if you don't know history on cars, you know history in the industry, this is running a Barry Grant carburetor on it, right? So Barry Grant carburetors are no
kind
longer around. They're old, right? Just plain and simple.
They're old.
Nothing wrong with them. They're still based off of a Holley 4150 series carb. That's the design style of the carb. Nothing wrong with them. They all work the same. This one is mechanical secondaries, a full double pumper setup. So it is a really, really good powerhouse
car. So when you
car.
Say a double pumper, what does that mean?
So it's all mechanical. Everything about it is full mechanical. You've got an accelerator pump on the front and on the rear on the secondaries. So when you open this sucker up, you're getting power. That's what it's going to do. It's going to give you a lot of power.
Straight down the track, typically. It's all on or all off.
Yeah.
All off,
yeah. So really good setup, man. Super, super strong. It's going to give you the power you want, but no choke. You know, so it's got some of those things, you know, just working with it in the mornings and stuff might be a little tricky sometimes. But still tuned in right will be very, very tight and a lot easier. So, you know, in going over the system, looking at it, you can kind of get an idea without, you know, any specifics. Look at what you're working with and kind of understand, you know, how long ago the car was built. You can look at the products on the car and see what era they're from. Some a couple years old, some 10 years old, so looking at it. But one of the things that I noticed was that this carb wasn't just a carb out of the box. It wasn't a BG series you take off a box. put in, and that's it, right? This was a custom-built and jetted carb for this motor.
For this motor.
And I noticed that because they're always custom engraved. You have literally engravings that you do down the sides of the carb that'll tell you your jet sizes, what works, what doesn't work. So that told me the quality of build that went into this car. It tells me that somebody wasn't cheap. They took a motor. They took a motor and had it built, professionally built, and it was built probably on an engine dyno, not on like a chassis dyno at the rear wheel, possibly, but it was built on an engine dyno. So this motor out of a car was set up, tuned, turnkey with that air fuel delivery, with that ignition system on it, set up and ready to go.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, that's outside of the car, right? So I'll tie this in a second.
No, you're doing fine. Because if you don't lay a base down, people don't know how your very technical mind thinks. That's why I have to even bring the questions out.
Right, so that tells me that this motor was, good money was put on it, and a lot of time was put in it.
So you use the markings on the carb to start giving you an identification that somebody had spent the right money on it.
For sure, yeah. So somebody's taken the time, they've tuned it. Now, whether or not somebody's dicked with all those adjustments, since it was professionally built, that's another story, right? Which we'll make sure that those are right before the client picks this thing back up. But I'll tell you what, man, if somebody had gone that far in it, that means that they built this thing and they tuned it in exactly right. So naturally, in the back of my mind, I know that I'm working with a motor that's super, super solid, and I'm working with an air fuel delivery and ignition system on the motor side that is turnkey perfect. It does not get any more perfect than what they did, because they're running AFRs, they've put in O2 bungs.
AFRs being?
Air fuel ratio. So they've tuned this setup, what we're working with, the intake manifold, the carb, the way the motor's built internally, externally, everything about it was built and tuned exactly how it should be, right? That's outside of the car. Now, outside of the car, typically when you're working with these things, these guys are running really high volume fuel pumps, they're running a pressure in your turn, and I'm talking on like engine dynos. So now you take that tuned setup and you go to put it into a car.
Now you're moving it into the car where the different,
where you're gonna
the dynamics
have different variables.
Are different. Yes.
So now you've got this perfect setup at the front, but now are you working with those same components that you just tuned with to power that platform, right? And in this case, probably not. What I mean by that is, this is where the flaw is in this car. In the back of this car, which is where the fuel cell is, the factory tank from the underneath was removed.
Yes.
All of the holes, unfortunately, which kind of sucks for me, I'm a little aggravated about it, but all of the original holes, you know, these second gens, the license plate flipped down.
That's correct.
And the fuel door was right there, right? You'd reach right through, and that would be where your cap was, and went straight down to your tank that sat underneath the chassis between the leaf springs. That has all been removed, but all of the holes were welded shut. So kind of not okay with that, because naturally what I would like to do is put this thing to how it belongs.
Yes.
And the reason for that is the fuel system that's in here is a fuel safe setup, really, really good for like SCCA. You got to have a licensing for it to get it out on the road.
It's even marked on
track
top.
It. But I'll tell you what you're working with now is a unmatched system, and that's where we're having our flaws and our problems, right? We already know the motor's good to go. Everything's set there. But now, how about delivery from fuel tank to that motor that
I
we know
it's
perfect.
The first thing you walked up, and before you even pulled the item you're getting ready to discuss out of its clamp or out of its keeper, you said, I know exactly where this problem is
going to be. Yeah, no chance. So, again, a lot of money has been spent on it, right? You can already tell by the build style of the car. You can tell by the quality that's gone into everything.
And this just goes to show it's the small things.
It's the smallest things, man, the smallest and the cheapest things that are always the biggest hiccups, and that's where a lot of people fail in the industry. This one, the number one key reason that the problem is existing on this car is because of nothing more than fuel pressure or lack of. By the way, the system was plumbed.
But wait, Bob, it's got an electrical fuel pump on it, and it's got a fuel pressure gauge up front. It won't hold fuel pressure. It goes from 6 to 0. So how can there be a problem?
So, all right, so in breaking it down, right, and we'll do more on this, too, at the end of the week. I'll actually have the pumps out side by side once this client approves everything, and I'll show off the differences between what you're working with, what before and after is, and why this problem exists. So this is nothing more coming out of this fuel cell, right? So fuel cell in the trunk. This is not a sump style system, right? Meaning sumps, typically a lot of guys out there, if they know what I'm talking about.
Lowest point.
You are drawing your fuel from the lowest point. So the weight of the fuel itself naturally is what pushes the fuel forward. And that's what you need on 80% of carbureted style fuel systems. You need sump style systems, unless you're running an in-tank pump. That's the biggest problem here. So this fuel cell that's in the trunk of this car is a pickup style system, meaning it has to draw fuel from the bottom of the tank up through a tube 14 inches high and pull it out just to get down to the pump and then push it forward from with pressure there up to that carburetor, right? Typically in the 5.5 to 7 pound range on this setup. But your problem that you have is the fuel pump that's in this car is, here's key, it's number one, not mounted below the tank. It's at the highest point of the tank, so it's naturally drawing, literally pulling air. And your second part of this is it is not a siphon style pump. So this is nothing more than a gravity pump that is sitting at the top, right? So when you have gravity style fuel pumps, they have to be at the lowest point of the fuel system. Have to be. It's just that simple. The line has to come out of the bottom of the tank into the inlet of the pump, and naturally the weight of that fuel sits there. The pump will push pressure up, but it does not draw pressure in.
So in other words, Bub, it's like a roller coaster being pulled uphill.
Essentially,
without the chain to pull the roller coaster up the tracks,
right,
there's no way for it to come down the other side.
Yeah, so now while this could have worked for a while, it could have worked for a year, 5 years, depending on how much has been run and driven. These pumps like this, the way that this system is, and again, I'll show off exactly what brands and products are on this thing once we do it. Nothing wrong with the setup that's on here. Of course, it's a cheap pump, just over the counter. It's an AirTech series pump. Operates in the range of 5 to 7 pounds, which is great for a carbureted system. But it has to be plumbed properly, and on this style system, it would never happen. This doesn't have a sump style system, so there's no outlet for fuel on the bottom section of this tank. It does have to draw up, which is going to require a specific style fuel pump for it, or you can look at even changing over, and this is why I said I was frustrated, change over to a different style tank where I would put a factory F-body style tank back in it that does have a sump on the rear. It sits dead center.
Sits down on the bottom,
And you can run virtually any sort of fuel pump in the industry after that. You can run, you know, Holley's, you can run Aeromotives, you can run Edelbrock's, you can run any of them, because you will be drawing from the lowest part of the tank with factory welded in bungs, so you don't have any leaks or any future problems.
Yes.
And it will draw that fuel right into the pump and push it straight up top.
Straight out. And if you look at this one here, Bub, you can clearly see that it is actually sitting at an angle like this with, ladies and gentlemen, the fuel pump is located right about here. So it's going up an angle. So when the client was depressing the accelerator, calling for more fuel to the system, it was completely running dry because there was no way to bring the pressure up through the system that quickly on demand.
Yep.
And that's where
And this motor, by the way, demands a lot of fuel. Like I mentioned, this is a strong built 427. And again, this is where a lot of people out there kind of have a struggle with it mentally, because they're like, well, I know the motor was engine dynoed and it did this for horsepower ratings.
Again,
but
that was on an engine dyno with an electric fuel pump driving fuel into it all the time.
You know, typically when those guys do it, they're utilizing things like Aeromotive 1000 systems, which are good, you know, they're good for 1000 plus horsepower. On carbureted setups, and they're doing a pressure and return with standalone fuel management. So they're literally flipping a switch. This thing's running wide open fuel up and wide open back. Whatever's not used, it pushes right back into the tank. And it's preset systems, right? And they're plumbed exactly how they should be. So every motor, whether it be 200 horsepower to 1500, is getting that perfect amount of fuel supply at 5.5, 6.5, 7, whatever they need to be set to. That's where engine tuning and dynoing sets them perfect when you're doing them on an engine dyno. Then you have something that's pre-tuned and pre-built. Now you go to drop it into here, but your variables are totally different in terms of your fuel delivery. This just getting over 3 pounds, 3.5 pounds, enough to supply the carburetor with fuel, yes,
and
but is it enough under wide open throttle on a motor that's producing more than 600 horsepower? Kind of
no
hard
way.
To say.
Yeah, no way, man. No way at all, though.
Yep.
It's like trying to rehydrate your body and there's nothing in the water bottle.
Yep.
It's kind of the
same thing.
Kenny's
got something for you.
Yes, sir. Kenner.
Larry asked, he missed what size motor this is.
Larry, good morning, Larry. Up there in, let's see, he's up there in Georgia?
Yes.
I'm not with it today, Larry. I'm with it. I've just got this flu, man. I don't know how it came on. Larry, this is a professionally built 427 big block motor that's in here. It is a very, very, very nicely built car, Larry.
Yeah.
It's just like Bub said. It's just small things that are missed that people create, that creates problems for people.
Yeah, so, you know, that's really it, man. That's kind of like, that's the go-to. That's the overview of what's going on here with this 73 Camaro. Stay tuned for the final on this thing. It's going to be insane, but I'll tell you what, man. Whenever you guys out there are having trouble with any sort of tuning, maybe hesitations in your carburetor, flat spots. Guys get a lot of flat spots when they just go to press on that gas pedal coming off of a stoplight. Engine temps running too hot, man. If you know that everything related to cooling system is up to par where it should be, your water pumps working, typically they don't fail unless they're leaking everywhere or you hear the bearing going out in the front of them. Water pumps do nothing more than push water around. You have thermostats. A lot of guys always think run with a 160 or run with a 180. That is all incorrect. You definitely want to make sure that you have a thermostat in your system. We've been using them since the early 1900s all the way through to today. They do exactly what they're supposed to do, and that is not allow flow, it is to control flow. A lot of people screw that up. It is to literally stop and control flow of your coolant flowing through your cooling system in the radiator core. Once it stops in the core, it allows for air to pass through the front of the radiator, and that cools that amount of coolant down, and it shifts and takes place again. When the motor gets hot, it opens up, your cold coolant goes in to maintain the engine temps, the hot coolant comes back out, and that is what makes this thing open and close. So that's key. Typically, I run 180s, 195 sometimes.
Yeah,
but you match that and you tune that in with your correct air-fuel ratio and ignition timing, which is key. Set your base timing, set your full advance, make sure that those are dead on. That will cause all sorts of overheating problems, running lean on your air fuel mixture. You've got to make sure everything is set in tune, and you will have a car that performs exactly as it should, all the way down to making sure your fuel pressure is right if you're running a carbureted application.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen, from the master, one of the top three in the industry today. He can tell you exactly what's going on. By the way, this car arrived when, Bob?
Friday afternoon.
That's how quickly we can get to it.
Yes.
So, just to let you know. So, paint and body is a slower thing.
Jesus. But the mechanical things too slow.
Mechanical things are quite easy. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen around the world. You now know that fuel-related problems are a big issue, especially in the way things are taken apart and put together. Mm-hmm. If everything doesn't match perfectly, you're going to have reliability problems and drivability issues.
Big time.
Overheating, bad fuel delivery, flat spots, all kinds of issues come about when fuel, air fuel is not.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and it's one of those things that it can all be avoided if everyone takes the time. Typically, when you buy carburetors, you buy distributors, you buy upgraded ignition systems. Maybe you buy Pertronics, electronic conversion for points to electronic, and just an old car, maybe an old distributor setup. You're trying to swap the internals for some reliability. All of those things will give you key tuning specs to tell you how to set that system up optimum. When you go to electronic ignition from points, you typically increase your spark plug gap by 5 thousandths. That's not me making up a number. That is proven in the world industry of electronic ignition conversion.
So you open that spark up. You're not running
the spark. You go and find what your factory spark is, and you bump it up 5 thousandths. 35 goes to 40, 40 goes to 45. That is why, like a lot of guys in the earlier muscle car years, always live by this 35 thousandths gap. Not so much true when you start working with modern style electronic ignitions. We are working with gaps as large as 60 thousandths in today's world of double platinum plugs.
Why would that be, Bob? Why would they cool that spark down?
Well, because of how strong the voltage is coming off of today's ignition systems. Okay. So it's efficient, it burns reliably, and these things are set in tune for a reason. They're set that way. So it's done to be efficient, it's done to be reliable, it's done to be, from a performance standpoint, all across the board, all of this R&D has been done. So it's just nothing more than literally either following what you should follow, which is, like, if you're doing a plug swap on today's vehicles, don't just go guessing with your plug gap. Find out exactly what it should be. That's key. And also, too, if you're doing upgrades, maybe you're just changing a carburetor, maybe you're changing that points to electronic ignition conversion, just follow the instructions. All of the company's websites offer this great information, and it's how you become good. It's how you become skilled. You become technical. You go out, take the time, sit down and do the research and read. All of these companies will tell you what they choose and feel is best for X, Y, and Z.
Right on. So follow the instructions, ladies and gentlemen, but more importantly, stay up on top of technology. That's the way you get things done. You study relentlessly. That's how you stay up with it, Bob. Mm-hmm. So that's going to do it for this episode of Doing It Bubba Style. It's getting to be about lunchtime, Bub. Until Friday.
Just keep on doing it Bubba Style.
Just keep on doing it Bubba Style. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports, ladies and gentlemen. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, find them on the web, MSOutlawBoutique.com. For the latest in fashion, accessories, and apparel, it's Miss Outlaw Boutique. April 14th, the big unveiling of the Orange County Choppers. You remember the show, American Chopper, the best of the best. Senior, Junior, Mikey, Joni, the whole crew will be there. We'll be up there in Orlando with them. Come see us. Come see the new bike. You're going to be blown away. It's a model after the 1965 GTO car. It's really, really beautiful. And it's going to be a surprise when you see what they've brought forth. Until Friday, ladies and gentlemen, let's just make sure we keep on doing it Bubba Style. All right, Bub, let's grab some lunch.